Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, positive talk radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is disillusionment. All three of my guests will look at disillusioning aspects of our daily life, CEO pay, job satisfaction, and education reform. And they'll explain what's behind the sentiments. My first guest is the co-author of the report, Executive Excess 2010, CEO Pay and the Great Recession. After adjusting for inflation, CEO pay in 2009 more than doubled the average CEO pay for the decade of the 1990s, and it more than quadrupled the average CEO pay for the 1980s. My second guest will examine job satisfaction from a non-executive to examine the question, how happy are we at work? Most people will answer, not happy at all, according to this guest. My third guest will unravel the confusing and disillusioning facts behind education reform. The United States ranks 18th in education among the 36 industrialized nations. He'll address what can be done to improve our educational system. And if you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Sarah Anderson is the Global Economy Project Director for the Institute of Policy Studies. She's a well-known expert on executive compensation and the lead author of 16 annual executive excess reports that have received extensive media coverage throughout the nation. Sarah holds a master's in international affairs from the American University and a BA in journalism from Northwestern University. Welcome to the show, Sarah. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure to have you on. And you're absolutely an authority in this area. And let's dive right into it. CEO pay is growing, even after you adjust it for inflation. But American workers, by contrast, are taking home less in real wages than they took home in the 1970s. Back in those years, very few top executives made over 30 times what the average worker makes. Today, top executives make over 263 times what the average worker makes. But this is a capitalistic system, so why is that bad?
Well, it's bad for a number of reasons. First, I'd like to emphasize that even from a business perspective, having such extreme gaps between what top executives make and what workers make can just be bad for business. It can hurt worker morale. A lot of surveys have showed that when workers know that their boss is making hundreds of times more than them, that it can hurt the team spirit of workers further down the line, and that can translate into problems with productivity. It also can be a sign that the corporate board is not independent enough, that you've got board members who are approving these packages, pay packages for their CEOs, who have too much of a cozy relationship with the CEO, aren't independent enough, aren't willing to tell him news that he might not like to hear. So there are a lot of just plain business bottom line reasons why the sky high executive pay levels are a problem. And also with the economic crisis, it's widely recognized that the extreme levels of pay on Wall Street encourage the reckless behavior that got us into this mess. So it's really an issue that affects everyone in this country. And also just from a plain fairness perspective. Why should one person's work be valued at hundreds of times the level of other people's work? Everyone should get a fair reward for their pay, but things have just gotten a little extreme in this country.
All right. Well, those are very compelling reasons, and I understand most of them. I'm not so sure about the fairness. We may come back to that a little bit later. But let me just play the devil's advocate here for a minute, if I can, Sarah. Back in the 1970s, when the differential wasn't as bad, it was less than 30 times what the average worker makes, there was far less demanded of corporate CEOs. I mean, there wasn't the media scrutiny that we have today. There wasn't the public relations needs, the press appearances, the necessity to be a strategic thinker back then. Executive skill sets have gone up between 1970 and today, so it makes sense that their pay should also go up between 1970 and today, whereas the average guy who's putting nuts on the wheel of a car on the assembly line, that skill really, if it hasn't been replaced by a robot, hasn't improved or changed over the past 30 years or so.
Well, that is an argument that pay has gone up along with the size of corporations. But if you look back at how the economy was doing back in the 70s, it was doing pretty well. People were leading companies in a responsible way. They were providing good jobs for our economy. I think it's hard to argue that the pay levels have gone up because these guys are just a whole lot smarter, a whole lot more skillful managers. And I think that's an argument that especially rings pretty hollow at a time when we are in this economic crisis. The guys who, led us into this crisis were, especially the ones on Wall Street, were the ones that were making the highest salaries of all. It's hard to argue that it's really an accurate reward for their level of performance.
All right. Let's take malfeasance out of this, Sarah Anderson, for just a minute. And let me go back to the 70s. Things were not so wonderful back in the 70s. You remember, maybe you don't remember, but we had gas lines because we had the Arab oil embargo. And we had what was called then stagflation. The economy had moved sideways. In fact, had been moving sideways all through the 70s into the 80s. There was no real growth because of this stagflation. And the leaders of the 1970s weren't doing such a bang-up job. Now, malfeasance aside, so we'll kick out the extremes like the Bernie Madoffs and the Ebers and those kinds of guys who are actually doing illegal things. And the reality is that CEOs in the 1990s, the early 2000s, were actually delivering more change, more progress, more value to their shareholders than they were in the 1970s.
Well, I don't think we're just talking about extremes here for people who I would argue were really overpaid. I'm talking about the people who were inflating the mortgage bubble and others who were invested in the mortgage-backed securities that then spread that problem throughout the economy, not just here but around the world. Those kinds of problems that were the cause of this crisis were much more widespread than people who are actually violating laws that are on the books, like Bernie Madoff and Bernie Ebers. And so I think it's just wrong to romanticize or glorify the CEOs of today compared to other decades. I think that if the economy, what the economy should be about is really serving the real interests and needs of people. Are they creating good, decent paying, stable jobs? Are they making sure that we have a clean environment? Are they supporting the communities in which they're operating? Those are the things that should really matter in an economy, but they're not the things that are necessarily looked at when executive pay decisions are being made.
All right. We're talking to Sarah Anderson, everybody. We're talking about CEO pay. She is the co-author of the annual executive excess reports that are coming out. And let's change gears just a little bit, but stay on the whole topic of CEOs and go back to the progression of the CEO as the superstar. In other words, mm-hmm. earning the money, very much like our star athletes earn the money today. And the progression goes something like this. In the 1970s, there was Lee Iacocca. He brought Chrysler out of bankruptcy and so forth and put them back on the road to health. In the 1980s, there was James Burke from Johnson & Johnson and Jack Welch. In the 1990s, there was Donald Trump and the fictitious Gordon Gekko, who said greed is good. But the idea was that in each of those decades, we had superstars that everybody wanted to be like. And so companies were out there trying to get superstar CEOs. And salaries were bid up to attract that level of a talent. It just was a question of supply and demand drove those salaries higher. So again, in a free market system, if I pay Michael Jordan millions of dollars to play basketball, why don't I pay a James Burke of Johnson & Johnson millions of dollars to lead the company?
Well, I think it's pretty easy to sort of quantify how much value Michael Jordan brings to his team. You can see exactly how many points he earns per game. Whereas with CEOs, it's a lot harder to measure his own individual contribution to that company. But a lot of other people are involved in creating the value of companies like Johnson & Johnson. What has been the major contributor to the rise of executive pay is a couple things. One is the trend of giving CEOs more and more stock options. That really helped balloon the value of their pay packages because they were giving out, you know, hundreds of thousands of options that then would increase in value if the price of the stock would go up. Sometimes it would just be a very, you know, temporary blip in the stock price, but executives were able to cash in on that. And of course, the stock can be driven up by all kinds of things that aren't really related to the executive's own performance. And one example I like to give is when the ExxonMobil CEO retired several years ago, he walked off with a $400 million pay package, and it was because of the rise in global prices for oil, which he admitted he had absolutely nothing to do with, but the value of the world oil prices had inflated his own pay packages, and so it was not really a reflection of his own personal wealth. I want to say, I think that, you know, there has been a little bit of a shift in the glorification of CEOs. I go a lot on the business cable TV shows, and I always remember just as the crisis was starting, I went on and talked about Angelo Mozzillo, who was the CEO of Countrywide Financial, and I was critical of the fact that I think he'd made the sixth highest pay in the year. It was either 2006 or 2007. And I had four people suddenly all yelling at me, you know, how could I, you know, possibly criticize Angelo Mozzillo? He walks on water, he built that company, and his shareholders love him and everything. Well, you know, now Countrywide Financial doesn't exist anymore. It was had to be taken over by another company. They were at the forefront of the whole subprime mess. Mozzillo is being investigated for criminal activity and so forth. And so I think now when I go on those shows, I do sense a bit of a shift that people aren't as, you know, just blindly willing to glorify people at the heads of companies. They've seen how people like that got us into this crisis, and I think there's just a bit more of a healthy skepticism.
Well, I would agree with you. We're talking to Sarah Anderson, everybody. We're talking about CEO pay, and Sarah, you have really done your homework, that Leo Mozzillo bringing it right home here to Ventura County, because that's where Countrywide, of course, was headquartered for such a long time, so kudos to you for that. But I think that the change has really become because more and more business is getting vilified as a result of the recession. So, but I like the direction that you were going down. You were talking about giving CEO stock options was one of the reasons that led to this inflated. Were there other reasons that we should be aware of that led to the increase in the disparity between the average line worker and what the CEO is making?
Well, another issue are the consulting firms that are hired to report on what they think that a CEO at a particular firm should make. And now a lot of these consulting firms have done other business with these companies, and so they're very reluctant to say, oh, we don't think this guy should be making nearly as much as what you're proposing here. So they often justify extremely high pay packages. They often compare the CEO to other peers in the industry and say that they should be making 75% of the average, and that sounds sort of reasonable. And so they've contributed to sort of the ratcheting up of pay levels, just these compensation consulting firms that have a very cozy relationship with the boards. And then the boards, as I said, are a big problem, too. They tend to be made up of CEOs or other executives from other companies who have a personal interest in not rocking the boat. You know, they don't want anyone questioning their own pay package, and so why are they going to create a stink on the board of another company and raise questions about that CEO's pay when it could just come back to haunt them personally?
Well, it's an interesting point, Sarah, and I want to go back to and discuss the boards, because CEOs don't set their own salary. It's the compensation committees of the board of directors. That is true. But boards of directors, if I sit on a board, I have some culpability. I'm responsible and could personally be sued as a result of this. So you have to act somewhat with somewhat of integrity in order to make this go. But let's go back to the comparison between Michael Jordan and the CEO, if we can, for just one more minute, and then we're going to have to end it there, I'm afraid. And that is this. Michael Jordan brings a lot of value. I agree. He brings television rights. He brings concessions. He keeps a lot of people employed. The same can be said of the CEO, though. The CEO does impact the share price. And since most of us are invested either in a 401k or some sort of retirement plan in the stock market, if we own shares of those stocks, he's enriching, the CEO, he or she is enriching a lot more people than, say, a Michael Jordan, who only reaches the employees that work inside of the stadium and those that are affected by TV rights. So I'd say that there's value brought on both sides. What would you say?
Well, I'm not going to even defend the pay packages that Michael Jordan makes. I mean, he was amazing. But I think that the level of pay for these top athletes is also completely absurd. It's kind of hard to fathom, you know, how they can even think about spending all of that money. But I think that, you know, what you're saying about the CEOs, yes, they contribute value to the company. They should get a fair reward for the hard work that they probably do, but there are a lot of other people at those companies whose work is very important to the company. They're, you know, take Johnson & Johnson, the people who make the products that that company's brand relies on are very important too. And I think I question whether you know, a typical gap between what a CEO makes and a worker makes in this country is somewhere around 300-1. Is the top guy's pay really 300 times more valuable than the worker's pay? And what kind of impact do those kinds of extreme gaps have on worker morale and on just the health of our society? We have so much wealth concentrated in the hands of so few. And is that really healthy for a society? I think it's really questionable and something that should be addressed. We have levels of inequality in the country now that we haven't seen since the early part of the 19th century, the so-called Gilded Age, and I think it would be very healthy to see a reduced level of inequality.
Well, you are fun, Sarah Anderson. We're going to have you back to discuss that exact point. We've run out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Sarah Anderson, everybody. She is the co-author, lead writer for the Executive Excess 2010 CEO Pay and the Great Recession. It is a pleasure. It's fun because you have great, very cogent points. And we'll have you back to talk about that solution to the problem at a future date. Thank you so much for being our guest, Sarah. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.